You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio, and we spend a whole hour talking to some very interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. So I'm Mandy, and today I'm delighted to be welcoming Penny Carter. Hi, Penny.
Hi, Mandy. I'm so pleased to be here and getting to meet a wide variety of lovely ladies. So today we have interesting guests, and first up, Emily Hodge from CoachingEmily.com. She supports people to lead a more gentle lifestyle, and she will be followed by Lucy Dean, who runs a creative digital marketing agency, Canary Jam Media. And finally, we have Pip Todman, who owns Queen Pip Cards and Independent Stamping Up Demonstrator. We're delighted to have all these ladies on the show and are really looking forward to learning about their various businesses.
Thank you, Penny. That's great. I'm really looking forward to being on the show with you today. It's great. So I'm really happy to welcome our first guest, Emily Hodge.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Emily. From Coaching Emily.
Yes.
What we'd really like to know, what our listeners would like to know, is how you started your coaching and a bit of a backstory about, you know, coaching and leading a gentle life, please.
Oh, wouldn't we all like to lead a more gentle life?
Yes.
I say it's not rhetorical. You must answer yes. It's a great question. I really started off my coaching work when I was in the NHS. Used to help kids to not start smoking, and then if they did, to help them stop with their parents' permission, obviously. And then we did lots of things around healthy eating with Jamie Oliver's Turkey Twizzlers in healthy schools. And then I decided that the NHS was probably the place that I wanted to lift off from and leave when I had quite a big life change myself. So I had cancer 8 years ago, and really that set me off, like most of us when we have a life-changing experience, to on another path of where I wanted to take my work. And because of the background I'd had, and because of then the experience that I had with you know, having been ill and got better, it was a really good launch pad, I suppose you could say, into working with other people to support them through some of their own difficult times and helping them to find minds and bodies and things that they do that help them feel happy and well and feel great again about their lives. So that's my backstory.
And that's your backstory. So you had this nurturing, I guess, because there's a lot of nurturing going on there, isn't there? Where do you think that came from? That came from being in the school, did it, and the smoking?
It's a good question. I think that, you know, when in your friendship groups, you will probably always see that there's a person or a few people in that group who will always be the type of person who would love to. It's not just about helping people, because that can sound a little bit twee, can't it? It's more like they're able to reflect, or they're able to listen quite well, and want to genuinely do that. And I think that I was one of those people. I'm not saying I'm the only one at all. There's lots of them. Them being special, it sounds like. And I just turned that personality trait, I suppose, into something that I could use professionally, alongside obviously training in order to support people well, to help them bring out their confidence, the best part of them, and to really get them on a path that sees them happy. And in order to do that for other people, we as coaches have to do that ourselves too, otherwise we're just kind of talking at people about things we don't necessarily understand. And so, you know, the part of my own transformation was to go through a coaching process myself and to continue to get that support, because I think we're all probably changing and moving and developing and growing as we grow and get older as well. So it's really nice for me to be able to be a client as well as support other people when they're my clients.
Yes, and you mentioned listening, and I'm sure Penny agrees. Listening is so important. So important, isn't it? And part of what you do is you must do an awful lot of listening.
I think so. I think it's picking up on the right things as well. Like if you have a good rapport with someone, you can usually tell what's happening. It's all the little nuances, isn't it? It's the little parts of their voice or the pauses or the gaps or the bits that they're struggling with. That's where you really hear stuff. It's often in the silences and in the difficult stuff that you hear the most. It's not actually the word itself, it's the way it's said and all the other parts around it. And of course the expression, you know, you'll see me going like this with my hands all over the place. That's part of it too.
Yeah, they can't see that on the radio, can they? But yeah, it's great. Expression is an important part of us, isn't it?
Absolutely. And can I ask, Emily, do you have any particular techniques that you are trained or specialise in? Is there one particular route that you took to deliver the service that you offer?
Yeah, I am an NLP coach. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, mm-hmm. and it means that you help people to, let's say, uncover their unconscious. So you're working with somebody's mind in a way that we can't necessarily articulate very easily. It's all about getting really back to things like intuition and mm-hmm. that gut feeling and understanding where and how we make decisions the best. So neuro-linguistic programming works by us sort of processing things in our mind and then being able to act them out. It does a lot of stuff around imagination, so in visioning things, building confidence before you actually go and do something. It's a really lovely process. That's one of the ones I use. And the other part of it is really called personal performance coaching. And that's essentially asking as good a question as you can mm-hmm. for the right moment. And that's really being able to pick out what that person wants and help them get to it in the quickest, most efficient way possible for them.
Right. And do you have to have a synergy with, you know, do certain people that you meet, you instantly feel connected and that will be a relationship that can develop quickly, and then possibly there might be others that are not as well suited to your style and technique?
Absolutely, for sure. And it's really important, as me as the professional and the coach, to also let someone know that as well. I'm not saying, oh, I've got 20,000 people asking to work with me all the time, so I have to, you know. It's more like when you get requests or when you're kind of talking to someone and it happens to become a coaching conversation, you would always make sure that it's the right thing for them, that they trust you as a person, mm. that you have rapport, that they feel they can trust you, that they feel like you can take their issue, I hate to say problem, but we'll use that word for want of a better one, and help them move it into something else. They have to really trust you. And if your personality types are just different to each other, or they're not in a place where they want to be doing so much thinking right now or the work to kind of move forward, then it may not be the right time to work with me as a coach. I may not be the right coach for them. And I think it's our responsibility as coaches to be very clear with anybody about that as well. Otherwise the relationship just wouldn't work as well. It might work, but it just may not be so easy or fun or good for both parties.
And potentially progress might slow down if it's not a compatible relationship.
For sure, yeah. Coaching's...
carry on.
I was going to say, coaching's quite exceptional in that sense of, you know, I would always say you interview your coach. You should, if you're interested in a coach and any type, and there's hundreds of types, there's business, life, health, X, Y, Z, all the words you can put in front of the word coach, you'll find one. You should interview your coach, because they would be willing to give you some of their time to explain their process, whether you like the way they talk, their technique. Probably unlike, I don't think you sort of interview counsellors necessarily, but it is a whole different process. Coaching is about building and creating energy, whereas counselling is different to that.
So I wanted to ask, actually, I mean, we live in a particularly stressful time, don't we? But do you have something or some things, a few things that are really common at the moment that you're dealing with, such as stress? You talk about overwhelm in your website and burnout. Are these the things that you're dealing with mostly, or are there other things?
They are the exact words that came up from the community that I've been working with for about 4 or 5 years now. I actually did a sort of semi-research project with them to pick out the words that they were using, and those were the ones that came up. And it's not really surprising. One of the main things that comes up with that is around our digital use, and how we're connecting and not really having on and off periods. The irony of having beautiful flexibility and more time to work from home and being online and all these lovely connections that we can create and make and foster is that we don't feel like we can kind of leave them. We can't turn off. And so the burnout side, amongst other things, is coming up a lot around how do I manage my digital use? How do I go off when I'm offline? How do I not work when I'm meant to be not working? How do I focus on my kids when I've got an iPhone in my hand? And they're saying, Mummy, you know, when are you going to put the phone away? Mm. You know, the guilt around trying to manage four or five things at the same time.
And the fear of missing out.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, of course, the joy of missing out, which is, oh, I'm so pleased I stayed at home in my pyjamas.
Yes. It is hard, though, when you're self-employed, particularly, and you've got that Sunday night, and you have to be able to, you know, what do you say to your clients who are dealing with overwhelm?
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to them when they can't switch off? What sort of tips would you...
I have like a five-step process that I'll take them through in the Gentle Life program. And one of the first ones is to be able to recognize really where we are being harsher to ourselves than we need to be. So the idea of that is really bringing in as much self-compassion to ourselves as we can. When we do that, we tend to judge ourselves less. So the idea of turning up on a Sunday and going, oh no, what do I need to do? Oh no, I need to be online, or I haven't done enough. We kind of want to question whether it's true, because that's what builds up that stressful hour or two, or that poor night's sleep on the Sunday, because we go, oh, I've forgotten all those things and I'm a terrible person. The reality is, A, everyone does that, and B, we're not terrible people. We're just managing and dealing with everyday life. So building self-compassion where possible, because we want to try and check in with our reality, whether we actually do need to be stressed, whether we do need to be online quite so much. And the rest of the four-step process is really about understanding where we can be able to say no a lot sooner and in a more encouraging way that helps us and other people. That might be to commitments that we've made. It might be to projects that we're kind of working on that aren't giving us joy or bringing us money anymore. You know, that's important for our businesses, clearly. It might be saying no more in a better way to the kids or, you know, to all the people around us that we might have to. But without it seeming selfish, by bringing it back to the idea that by saying no, we can be bold and confident and happy and help people to be confident in their no as well.
Yes, because often the confidence when you're self-employed, if you say no, you're worried that you're not going to get that job or you're going to lose work. And there's this paranoia that is developing, isn't there, all around.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's really different depending on the stage of business you're at. It's really hard to talk about years in business, because someone could have been in business 1 year and be at a stage that someone else in 15 years is in. So rather than age of our businesses, let's talk about stage. But startup is that typical period where you're like, yes to everything, because I must get out there and I must get my name known. And it would be great if everyone's asking me to do everything. It's beautiful. It's such a wonderful period. But it really can't last because it's exhausting. And I think as you get a bit more confident in where you're working, maybe your niche a little bit more stronger and the types of things that you love doing, you're able to say no a little bit sooner or better, or focus on the things you really want. And as soon as you're focused on the things you really want, the other stuff drops away a little bit naturally, because you don't have time to fit those things in. So stage of business, you know, stage two and three, when we're maybe a bit more set up, maybe getting our processes but not quite yet, is a fascinating one, because we are learning where we want to go, and we're, that funny word of up-leveling, we're kind of taking our business to a level that we are going to be happy with it for a longer term. And that has a whole different other way of being able to say no, of leading a more gentle life within that kind of a business.
Oh, Emily, we could go on for hours, I know. I know. Thank we could you. Chat for hours, couldn't we, Penny?
Absolutely. We could. Fascinating.
Yeah, and you come across so gentle as well.
Oh,
so,
thanks.
But unfortunately, we have come to the point in our programme when we usually ask our guests for some advice, because we are coming to the end of this particular interview. So is there any particular message that you'd like to share with our listeners today, particularly perhaps someone who has... well, perhaps, you know, a sense of overwhelm or long-term health conditions, and how to just slow down?
The awareness is the first thing. I mean, you know, I woke up this morning. I didn't feel amazing when I woke up this morning. But being able to be aware of that has really helped me all day. Otherwise, I think I would have spent the day in like this sort of like state. So really checking in with yourself. Am I okay today? Am I anxious? Am I happy? Am I tired? Honestly, the first thing you can do is just be aware.
Be aware. Yeah. Great advice. Thank you, Emily. That is super advice for any of our listeners out there who would like to talk to you. And should they email you or contact you via the website, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website's coachingemily.com, and they can email me at emily@coachingemily.com. Ask any question you like.
That's easy. And I'm sure our listeners will be getting in touch. And so thank you very much. That was Emily Hodge. So we're now going to take a short break, after which we'll be talking to Lucy Dean from Canary Jam Media.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. Picture this, a Sunday lunchtime carvery where you can eat as much as you want with a choice of one, two, or three courses. You're free to help yourself to succulent pork, beef, chicken, or gammon. And if you wish, you can have them all. Add in a homely, family-orientated environment with free parking, and you have your perfect destination for the perfect Sunday lunch. It's all here at the Best Western Ship Hotel by Monument Green, High Street, Weybridge. Book now on 0800 393 130. We're one of the most welcoming places to eat in Weybridge.
You don't have to be in Surrey to hear Brooklands Radio, and with our brand new free app, it's even easier to take the sound of Surrey with you. Download the app to your mobile device to be just one click away from music, entertainment, and all of the local news that you need. Plus, you can instantly access our social media feeds, keeping your finger on the Surrey pulse. Our app is available on all Android devices through Google Play and on your Apple products through the App Store. You can also find out more details on the website www.brooklandsradio.co.uk. So whether listening near or far, take the sound of Surrey wherever you are with the new free app from Brooklands Radio.
Hello, I'm Sarah Chaplin. Join me for Jazz London Live on Brooklands Radio every Thursday night from 10 till midnight. I'll be featuring a wide variety of jazz, including the great recording artists like Billie Holiday and John Coltrane, as well as the best homegrown and up-and-coming jazz from the British jazz scene. There'll be some Latin, funk and fusion thrown in too from time to time, as well as some jazz versions of pop, folk and rock songs, some new arrangements of old standards, timeless classics and new originals. Each week I'll be interviewing a jazz musician, promoter or broadcaster. There'll be an album of the week and the essential Jazz London Live gig guide. So join me this Thursday at 10 p.m. for Jazz London Live on Brooklands Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Penny, and my co-presenter, Mandy. We'd now like to welcome Lucy Dean. And could I just start by asking you, Lucy, you're a creative digital marketing agency based in Farnborough. Can you give us a little bit of insight in terms of how you created the business, what brought you to this point in your career, and how it all began?
Sure, yeah. Well, I've been working for a couple of years for my mum's firm as the marketing director. It's an accountancy firm that she set up, so kind of entrepreneurship runs in the family. The reason I wanted to set up my own business is because I'm really passionate about helping small businesses succeed in what is a very competitive market. But the reason I love my job so much is because I really enjoy working with them sort of on a one-to-one basis or in workshops to try and capture what it is that makes them unique and to get that across to potential customers through social media, because every business has a really interesting story to tell, and sometimes what they lack is maybe the confidence to just say, okay, I'm just going to put this content out there, I'm just going to see what happens. So I really enjoy working with them, creating a strategy that fits in with their overall marketing aims, that's unique and really fascinating for potential customers to look at and to engage with.
Okay, I see. So you did that with an accountancy firm initially?
I did, yes.
So how did you How did you make that attractive and engaging via social media channels?
Well, what we did with the accountancy firm was, it's a family-run firm, so their values were really important to get across and to capture. So their values were family, integrity, honesty, and basically just being really helpful. So we share hints and tips for potential customers, just anyone who's interested in finance. And we also share things to do with the budget. And we've got an app that we promote as well, which helps us stand out from our competitors. And it's got really useful calculators, like tax calculators. And it's just really exciting because it's a small business, we can be a lot more responsive to things that are happening in the marketplace and in the wider world. And I love social media because I like following the trends, seeing what's going on Twitter, for example, because you'll get quite a quick response to things that have happened, say government announcements to do with the budget or anything that's happening. Okay. So it's fantastic, really. Then that's how we've kind of marked ourselves out as different.
So it's that immediate engagement that you receive, and then that spurs you on to the next step.
Yeah, I mean, one of the beauties of social media is you can try out lots of different strategies and you'll get a fast response. So if it hasn't worked, you can always adapt it to do something else. And people are quite honest as well. So if they don't like something, then you'll find out pretty quickly.
Get an instant response.
Yeah, yeah, okay. In terms of like a lack of engagement, because if people aren't engaging with you, then something needs to change. So,
yeah. So how do you keep up with the changes then, Lucy? Because it's some platforms change so quickly, don't they?
It's very rapid. I'm on them daily, so I do notice things happening as and when they are being rolled out. But there are blogs you can follow and influencers within the social media world and technology world that they share content as well. So yeah, so that's a really good way of linking up. So I'd always recommend connecting with centres of influence, people who are influential in your field, to see what they're talking about. And then also looking at businesses that are complementary to what you do. So they might be businesses that you network with, because everyone's always, well, I think it's important to kind of keep an open mind and keep in touch with what's going on. And the way to do that is just to be in dialogue with lots of people.
I love the name. I think it's such a bright sounding name. It's a very exciting sounding name and different.
Thank you.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to come up with that name?
Well, what I decided to do, because I was struggling with coming up with a name that kind of summed up what I do and what I'm passionate about, and I got together some business ladies that I know from networking who are very dear to me, very important to me, and who I've supported previously, and they were only too happy to help me have a, you know, what did we call it now?
A brainstorming session.
It was like a branding brainstorming session, and we did like the six hats exercise, and that was facilitated by the regional director of our Athena network, Linda Huckle. And we basically started with the word motor and we ended up with Canary Jam Media. So it just goes to show that how the thinking process transformed over that session.
And that all came about in the one session,
yes,
did it? And
yeah, it took about an hour or two to come up with that, and a strap line, which is spreading the social chatter.
Yeah, I love that as well.
So,
it's
yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
So your ideal clients are, who are your, I mean, I know you mentioned new businesses.
Yes.
But who would be your ideal client then at this point?
At this point, it's hard to say because I work with so many different businesses. At the moment, I'm working with a flower designer, a life coach. I've worked with an emotional release therapist. I'm also in talks with a chiropractor. So it really does vary. At the moment, I'm working mostly with female businesses, but I am open to working with men as well. So I thought I'd put that out there. I'd like to work with people that have ideas, I suppose, and who are passionate about their business, because that makes my life a little bit easier, because I can bounce ideas off of them and we can come up with something that's truly unique to them.
Mm. Your enthusiasm is
infectious.
It is infectious, isn't it? It's really infectious. I love it. It's fantastic, yes.
So you also offer the one-to-one training and workshops. So
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the one-to-one differs to the workshop environment?
Well, the one-to-one workshops are essentially the chance for the business owner to hone in on any sort of areas within social media that they might be struggling with. And it really does vary, because some of my clients are really technophobic, so they need a lot of support just in terms of, say, uploading images or, you know, inserting tags and sort of linking to certain locations and things. There's a lot you can do to optimize your posts so that they are seen by more people. So someone I've been working with since the very beginning, she's getting a great response on Facebook now, and she's got so much more confidence because we've been seeing each other every month for a couple of hours. So she's got to learn more about the technical aspects as well as how to put a story together and put it out there. So yeah, it does vary, basically.
So you're helping her, and you can do that for her, but you're also helping her so that she could do it herself as well.
Yes.
If she needs to. So you're covering all angles, really.
Yeah, I keep it flexible because at the end of the day, it's up to them what they want to get from it. But with the client who was particularly technophobic, she's got to the stage now where she can do it herself if she wants to, but she still comes to me because there's still other things she can learn and wants to learn.
That's perfect.
So, yeah, yes. So that's great. Yeah.
And do you have your own personal preferred social media platform?
Oh, that's difficult. I love Facebook because it's the one I've sort of grown up with, because it came out in 2004 and I was 14 then. So I've literally grown up with it. But I enjoy all of them because they're all different. LinkedIn, I particularly like because it's for professionals. Mm-hmm. And I just like them all, actually. It's hard to choose a favourite because they're all unique. And Instagram's great because it's very visual. But yeah, I enjoy using all of them, to be fair.
Do you think any of them are more successful than... I mean, obviously, Penny and I were talking about this earlier. We've got Instagram, which is really popular at the moment.
Yeah.
And Twitter, some people can't quite get to grips with Twitter, although it is massively popular.
Yes.
Are they all as good as each other for different reasons? Or are there some that really do stand out, would you say?
As long as you're using them regularly and you're posting content that's sort of quality driven, I think you're always bound to get a good response from it. So from my point of view, they're all, I would say, a fairly good standard. It's just a case of making sure that you put out quality content, because it should always be quality over quantity. Because at the end of the day, it needs to elevate your brand rather than denigrate it. So I always, when I'm working with someone, I always say, let's not rush this. Let's take our time, make sure we've got everything we want to say in that message, and make sure it's going out to the right people at the right time, and it will do well. So yeah, I always get results. Mm. So yeah.
And better to get someone like you on board than try and, you know, I do a certain amount myself, but I need help.
Yeah.
But I think that's, yeah, so you're there for people to help elevate.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And do you have any insight into whether there's the future of social media? Will one platform disappear, do you think? Or would that be unfair to ask that question?
I think at this stage, they're all very much of a muchness, if you like. They're all equally popular. I think amongst businesses, or the businesses I speak to, people do struggle with Twitter, and yet you can get such a great response with Twitter. I think it's just a case of maybe helping people, you know, educate themselves on how best to use it. But I know that, for example, Snapchat's really popular with teens, but mm-hmm. Facebook have brought in sort of filters to kind of combat that and to sort of not take over from Snapchat, but there's a lot of competition between them, a lot of rivalry, because they all want to be seen as the top one. But Facebook obviously had this scandal with Cambridge Analytica to do with the President Trump's campaign. Mm. So I think yes. They're working very hard at the moment, and you can see this in their ad campaigns. They're trying to combat this negative perception that people have got of them. But the platform itself is great, because in terms of advertising, it's a lot more cost effective than, say, Google Ads, which can be more expensive. And people have said to me that actually, in terms of the feedback you get from Google, it's a lot less than, say, Facebook, because Facebook have so much data on people that they can give you a lot of feedback in terms of how well an ad's done and who's seen it and who hasn't. Just sum it all up, I would say they're all a much of a muchness. So,
and of course, Facebook and Snapchat, I think it appeals to different age groups, doesn't it? Snapchat, as you said, is very young.
Yes.
But I can't see them getting the Snapchat market because the young people aren't going to Facebook, are they? So I understand. Or is that a misconception?
I think young people do use Facebook. When I'm looking at it from a business point of view, my own business, the target market that I've got is between anyone from sort of 25 to 65. I'm not really looking at teens because there's not many teens doing business, but that could change, I suppose, potentially going forwards. But I think most teens are using Snapchat because it's more of a social thing. It's fun to do with their friends rather than, say, businesses that will be doing it to elevate their brand and connect with their customers. So I think they appeal to different audiences, essentially. But they're always looking at each other to see what they can do that's different, or maybe that they can roll out that's similar but not quite the same, you know. So.
And are there any companies or brands out there that you'd like to work with, that you would aspire, that you think, oh, that would be a really interesting concept or brand to promote?
Well, it's funny you say that. I mean, I look at Aldi on Twitter quite often because their feed is hilarious if you look at it. They did a campaign for Halloween, which was called the Aldi family instead of the Adams family. So okay. It's a play on that, and it was hilarious. But if you look at their whole feed, it's very humorous, but still obviously trying to get across this message about what they do and their values and things like that. So it's always brand enhancing rather than brand damaging, but they're particularly known for humour on social media. So I'm keen to work with people who are passionate about what they do. So I'm not necessarily looking at their size, it's more about the story that they want to tell and what their vision is. If they've got a vision, then I can do something with that because I can help them build a campaign around that. So
and of course your art background that must come in really handy now.
It does,
all of that work that you did. One interesting fact, that you met Nick Bashall, is that how you pronounce
Bashall,
his name?
Yes, that's right.
And he's done portraits for Princess Anne, Princess Michael
Royalty.
Of Kent, etc.
Yes.
Wow, you're in good company there.
Yes, yeah. And Anne Witheridge was on, I think, the Channel 4 News earlier on in the year talking about a Leonardo da Vinci portrait that came up for sale at auction. To have experienced that, to have been able to have been taught by them is really valuable.
And that must come in so... It must be so useful for your social media company, well, your marketing company now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. In terms of how I brand people and position people, I always think about how I can enhance what they already have to make it stronger and clearer for the end user, the customer.
And Lucy, your passion just come through.
Oh.
It's so exciting. And we could sit here all afternoon again. But we've come to that point in our programme where we're coming to the end of our chat with you, I'm afraid, Lucy. So now it just remains to ask if you have any particular advice you'd like to share with our listeners, particularly someone who's starting a new business and needs social media advice.
I would say think very carefully about what makes you different to your competitors, and don't be afraid to communicate your unique story and to put your content out there, because you'll be surprised by what works. And it's important to try lots of different techniques and lots of different approaches and different types of content when you're first starting out, because you'll gradually find out what resonates with your audience and with your customers. So
Thank you, Lucy. That is brilliant. And of course, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, do you want to give out your website and email address?
Yes, my website is www.canaryjammedia.co.uk, and my email is canaryjammedia@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. That's Lucy Dean from Canary Jam Media. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank
you. It's been brilliant. We'd love to have you on again in the future, as Emily too. So now time for another short break, after which we'll be talking all things cards and creative for all of you crafty ladies out there with Pip Todman. So don't go away.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close? Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7am to 11pm weekdays, 7am to 9pm Saturdays, and 10am to 4pm on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Brooklyn's Radio's audience is growing. Potential listeners are listening, but are they hearing your message? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know about internet radio, or maybe I should wait. Well, instead, think about it this way. Do you want to be one of the first businesses like yours to advertise on internet radio, or the last? So why not tap into the power of Brooklyn's Radio easily and affordably? Contact Fiona through sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. That's sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. Brooklyn's Radio, loving Surrey Radio. Brooklyn's Radio.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9pm, only on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dineley, together with Penny Carter. Our third guest on today's show is Pip Todman. Now, she is the owner of Queen Pip Cards, and she's an independent stamping up demonstrator. So, hi, Pip.
Hi, Mandy.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's lovely to have you here, ending on a very creative note. Could you tell us all about your creative business and how you got into it?
Yes, thanks. Well, it's interesting following on from Emily earlier, because I actually got into it really from a card-making perspective, whilst being creative pretty much all my life, but really from a card making perspective I got into it while my sister had breast cancer, and I wanted to do something that would help raise money for breast cancer care. And now it's breast cancer now, but so I started making cards, and I just started at work making cards for people and then having them on the desk, and people would buy my cards and I'd donate money to charity that way. And then nearly eight years ago I went to the Make It show at Farnborough, and I was drawn to a stand called Stamping Up for 3 days, and finally on the third day I went to the stand, and I think my sister must have been like nudging me and tapping me on my shoulder saying, go there, and so I went, and I said, I love card making, but there's nobody near me. And one of the ladies on the stand went, well, I'm actually in the next village, and I've got a craft day next month if you'd like to come along. And the rest is pretty much history.
Oh, how
so
wonderful.
Yeah, so I just found Stamping Up, and I found a community of women who love creativity and love crafting, and I decided to become a demonstrator purely because I wanted some discount on the crafting products that I was going to buy myself. I was never going to run classes, I was never going to do anything businessy. And at the end of January, I'll have been doing it full time for 3 years.
Wow. And you obviously enjoy it.
I love it. It's just the best thing. It's so, I pinch myself pretty much every day to think that I could be doing this as a job, helping other people just have some chill out time and that enjoyment of being creative. And I think we need it so much in today's life. And it really gave me something when my sister was sick. Something to kind of cheer myself up and have something creative and positive that I could do. And then moving on from there, when I was in a busy corporate life, it gave me something to relax in the evenings, chill out before work, do something creative and have a better outlook on my day. And now I give that to other people, and that's such a joy. So, yeah, I really love it.
So how does it work then? Tell us, for a typical, what sort of thing do you go into people's houses? Do they come to you or anywhere?
Yes, it's kind of, anywhere and everywhere, really. I run classes on a monthly basis. both in a little tea shop in North Camp called the Tea Shop in the Corner, and I just have a little taster session there. People can pop in and make a card, have a cup of tea, and then on a Saturdays and Sundays once a month I run card classes at my local church. And then in between that, if somebody wants to have a private class or do something special, so a girls' night in or a girls' afternoon, chill out time, sometimes we do mum and daughter's things as well, which is really lovely. And they can book me in and I'll go around and see them. And then the rest of the week really is me creating cards, card tutorials, videos, and lots of stuff for me to do things online. So I'm working with my team. So yeah.
I love it, Penny, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. So is it a bit of fun, that playtime that you still need as an adult?
Yes, exactly. It's
being creative, being surrounded by like-minded people.
Yes.
But out of that comes fun and relaxation.
Yeah, and I think that we don't give ourselves enough of that. Everybody I've spoken to, you know, you talk to all the time, it's always like, oh, I'm so busy, everything's such a rush, that life is so stressful, you know. And mums especially are very, very good at looking after their children. And they're very good at making sure their children have playtime. And they're very good at making sure that, you know, everyone else in the family is looked after. But they're really, really bad at giving themselves that bit of me time that actually they need. So my job is really to remind women that actually you need time too, and it's about giving you time to play, relax, get that other half of your brain working, which de-stresses people. It's actually used now by the NHS as a pain relief and for depression. People who have depression are suggested and advised to do something creative, go crafting.
Yes. Yeah,
because
totally.
It's so good for the soul, and that's really, I think, why it helped me with when my sister was poorly. Mm. So I spend my life giving gifts of joy to other people and fun time, and they have a great community. Half the time they're crafting, actually, they don't come for that anymore. Once they get started, they come just to chat with their friends and have a really nice afternoon of fun. Yeah. And they go home and go, I've just had the best 2 hours and I've forgotten about everything.
And is it right that there's an opportunity for other women to do what you do as well?
Yes, absolutely.
So they could be in any part of the UK.
Yeah.
And you could help them set up their own little
Yeah, it'd be whatever. Yeah, so Stamping Up is an amazing company. It's nationwide. And in fact, it's actually global. There's just over 53,000 demonstrators who do what I do worldwide.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And they like to support people, but they have an amazing set of products that we sell. And then I can have people join Stamping Up through me in my team, and I can help them grow their own business or just have a hobby, which is how I started, you know, just getting extra discount on product. So I have 32 direct to me, and I do have 2 men in my team, so which is nice. They're lovely, based in Basingstoke. And then I have lots of people in my second and third levels as well. You know, it's kind of grown, really. We're more than 50 of us, so we're a powerhouse to be reckoned with.
Is your house full of glitter?
It is full of glitter, glittery stuff, ribbons, ink, paper, stamps.
Oh, I love it. It sounds like my idea of creative heaven.
So if you wanted to take this up yourself and you needed to get all of the equipment,
supplies.
Is there a big cost in that, or
so
is
you can,
it affordable?
It depends on how much you want to spend. So you could start off with a little starter kit that's got everything included. We do like all-inclusive kits, so you have enough supplies to make 20 cards. They have the stamps, the ink, all of the materials that you need, and that's about £33. So it's great as gift boxes, giving at Christmas as presents, all those kind of things. And then that gives you a basis, because then you have a colour, an ink and some stamps. Sometimes they come with 2 ink, you know, so you can start from there and then you just build it up as you want to. So that's why I do classes, because you can come to the class and not buy anything and just actually craft with me, and I'll provide all the supplies. And then if you want to do it at home, I always recommend people talk to me first, because you could go and spend thousands of pounds if you wanted to on everything in the catalogue, but then that's not really what you need. And I say to people, don't go mad, buy what you need for the project that you want to make. So if you want to make Christmas cards, I can help you make Christmas cards. And we'll start there, because that's how I started with Christmas cards. Then if you want to move on to something else, tell me what it is that you're... What problem do you want to solve with your card making? Do you need thank you cards, birthday cards? And then we can help, you know, guide you. That's what we as demonstrators do, is help guide people to the right products for what they need.
I see. And if somebody had a particular occasion or a special request, would you do a bespoke piece for them, or do you try to avoid that?
I have done in the past. I've done some very specific cards in the past for somebody who liked clocks, and time was one of them. That was a very unusual request. But what I do have, what I have done in the past is I've, and I still do it today, is if a bride comes to me and she wants to make her own wedding cards or her own save the date invitations, that kind of stuff, I can help her buy the cardstock and the ribbon and get her girls together, you know, all the bridesmaids, mum-to-be, get them all round and do like a bride afternoon, getting all the invitations done. And she can borrow some of my products and buy some of the products that she needs herself. So we do a bit of a mix and match that way. So it's an honour and a privilege to have been part of some...
Sounds like a preliminary cosy hen party
meeting, yes,
doesn't it? With
exactly.
A bit of Prosecco.
Absolutely.
Who do I know that's getting married?
It's great fun. And yeah. And also the bride then feels like she's really done part of her own wedding. And
yes.
It's a lot cheaper.
Oh,
it
yes.
is a lot cheaper.
And it's yours, isn't it? It's
yeah.
personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can normally match colours really well yeah. as well, which is great. So, yeah, it's fun.
So in you, often you're visiting other people's homes?
Yes.
Or they can come to you?
Yes, they can't. I don't have people at my house because it's too small. I have a really small Victorian, two up, two down. So, and with all my craft stuff in there, I don't actually own a table. People say to me, you must have a dining room table. No, I don't. I just have my craft room now in what was the dining room. My poor hubby has to eat his tea off his knee. he's very patient.
It shows but, what you can do though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, exactly. You don't have to have a massive
yes.
studio or whatever to do it. And, you know, people say, oh, I've got no room, I've got no space. Well, I started with a little box and now, okay, I do have half the dining room, but, you know, that's where I am today. And, I'm quite successful in my business, should I say. And, I just ranked fourth in the UK, so I'm quite
really?
Happy about
oh,
that.
Congratulations. Oh,
yes, thank you. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, but it's down to having a fabulous team and a fabulous product as well, and just people who want to craft.
And being you, I think.
And
again,
me.
Another another a lovely lady with passion for her business
yeah.
and other people. In fact, didn't you, were you going to talk about some charity?
Yeah, yes,
some
my caring
that you were thinking
boxes.
About doing
yeah.
next
so
year.
Our team is thinking at the moment, we've had an awful lot of us in the team who have suffered with people having both cancer in the family or themselves, but also dementia and Alzheimer's. So we wanted to do something that would enable people to support people who are in that situation, but not necessarily the person who's suffering or going through it themselves, because generally they're really strong. My sister was a rock, you know, but it was everyone else like me who was falling apart around her. And sometimes they're the people who need the card. They're the people who need just that something to drop through the mail. We call it happy mail. Mm-hmm. So when happy mail drops through the post, you know, the letterbox, and it's just something that's not bills, and it's something that says to them, you're being cared about. We, mm-hmm. you know, we mm-hmm. thinking of you, we are caring for you. So the idea is to put together like a pack of consumable items. They can either make it up with stamps they own themselves, or with stamps that we've got, which have been designed specifically by people who've gone through cancer and wanted to use a stamp set to support cancer charities. So that's the idea that we're going to do as a team across the whole of the UK, and have that hopefully for sale shortly.
I think that sounds lovely.
That
we don't get enough personal post through the door anymore.
No.
People have stopped writing as much as they used to, which...
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I have a friend who's in Auckland, and she still sends me cards, handwritten cards, and it's so lovely when they land
it is,
on the
it's
doormat.
Such, it's like a hug, isn't it? It's a
it
hug
is.
In an envelope.
Yeah.
And we have... Stamping Up has a saying, make a card, send a card.
Mm.
You know, whenever you make a card, although it's good for you to make it because it's great for your stress relief to make a card, it means twice as much benefit and twice as much joy if you actually send that card to somebody and tell them that you care about them. So we're trying to encourage that and support people. And money from the box that we put together will be going to, you know, whichever of our teams, they're going to have their own local charity that they want to support. So mine will be going to Breast Cancer Now. So yeah,
you've just got to. So that will be something that we can talk about next year when you come back. But I think that's really important. I do. I think words, personal cards are so important, and we often forget about that.
Yeah,
we often forget to, you know, we send a little text, but a text is lovely, but it can be bland. You can put flowers on,
yeah,
and whatever you want to, but it's still not the same as somebody's handwriting.
No, and it comes and it goes, and that's it. Yeah. It's gone. A card you can put on the mantelpiece, and some kids these days are not getting any cards for their birthdays. They're just getting WhatsApp messages, Snapchat messages, you know, all that stuff.
Really?
And yeah, there's some people who are not even having cards for their kids, and I find that really sad, that actually those are the things you look back on, you know.
Yes, yeah, the words
that people have said. And
and when you were a little girl, you used to sit down and make a card, and you were so proud of it.
Yeah.
And I think as an adult, I know when I've been creative myself, I'm that little girl again.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to the whole idea
playtime.
Of it is giving you that.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about overwhelm earlier on,
yes,
and de-stressing with Emily, and this is another part, another way that you can distress and
just switch off from the busy life and give you back yourself some me time.
What's your most popular card then?
Christmas is big, but I think there's two. Obviously we have birthday cards. People do still like to send birthday cards, but a just for you or a thinking of you or a thank you, that kind of card resonates a lot with my customers. You know, they'll hand out notes to everybody and anybody. So and I think that the stamping up statement of the heart says it. I love what I do, I share what I love, and by doing that I make a difference to other people, and that's really what I want to do in my business and my life.
And that's a lovely note to just nearly end on, Pip. And again, once again, Penny, we could go on for hours. It's a long time, but it's not long enough.
No.
So, Pip, is there any advice that you could offer to our listeners who want to do what you do and how they can get involved?
Yeah, so you can either come and see me, obviously. I run classes locally, or as I said, I can go into people's homes and do private classes. And also, you can find me online. You can also find Stamping Up online.
Okay. And do you want to read out your website?
Yes, so
contact
my website
details is
www.queenpipcards.com, and I didn't give myself that title, but it's stuck.
I love
it. I am the Queen of Cards, so yeah, queenpipcards.com, and it's just Pip at queenpipcards.com.
Okay.
And just do anything creative would be my message.
And
anything.
That's perfect advice. Thank you so much, Pip. Lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks for having
me. So we'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Emily Hodge from CoachingEmily.com, Lucy Dean from Canary Jam Media, and Pip Todman, Queen Pip Cards and Stamping Up Independent Lady. And also a very big thanks to our lovely Penny Carter, who has done an amazing job. I'm really looking forward to working with you in the future. It's been lovely. And also thank you to our honorary Just Woman, Graham Laycock, who produced the show for us today, and we wouldn't be here without him. So it's over to Penny now.
Thank you, Mandy. And just to say that we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who you think should be on our show, then please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and if you want to get them on a future show, that would be fantastic. You can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen, and you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday and repeated at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dine-Lee.
And it's also goodbye from me, Penny Carter.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.